How we going? Also, would mention that there's some sign-up sheets in the on the table that still need some names filled in. We need someone to sign up for closing the building in November and opening and closing the building in December. And then October the 30th, we'll be, Lord willing, we'll be going back and do the worship service at the nursing home. And we need someone to sign up for leading singing and making the talk at that. So if you can help in any of those ways, please do sign up for that. We'd like to begin our lesson this evening with a simple question. Have you ever said or just thought to yourself, I want to be just like who? And it could be lots of people. You know, in fact, it probably changes throughout your life. I want to be just like so-and-so. Probably, you know, when we were all young, you know, we all probably found ourselves trying to copy somebody else. We probably the first ones we look at our parents and we want to be just like them. We want to talk like them. We want to walk like them. We eat like them. You know, whatever the case may be. In fact, oftentimes, whether we even think about it or not, most of us young ones start out doing things kind of like our parents. That's kind of a normal way, normal process of our growing up. But you know, we may also look around and we'll see people that we grew up with. Maybe there's a cool friend. I want to be just like that person. Or I want to be like a famous celebrity. Do y'all have any heroes? I can tell you mine, when I was a kid, y'all know about the Lone Ranger? He wasn't mine. Tonto was mine. I wanted to be like Tonto. I wore out a stick horse made out of a broomstick. Just wore it out. I wore old Scout out, just rode him all over the place. Scout was mine. I wanted to be just like him. Maybe it's a great athlete. There's lots of people that get our attention and we just want to be just like them. And it may be that we kind of split all this up. We want to be just like this person in this and this person in that. That's pretty common as well. All of us have learned from examples of others. And we've incorporated those things, a lot of those things, into our own lives. And whether we even realize it or not, we're doing that because we want to be just like them, or at least in that particular facet. Even bad examples will affect us. You know, it may be that we may follow a person that's a bad example. I hope not, but that can happen. Or we may develop such a strong dislike for the behavior that's bad that we just don't want to do with that at all. I have known of people that knew somebody or even had somebody in their family that was an alcoholic, and they hate it so bad, they're just totally, totally against it. And so we can learn good things from bad examples as well. The key is, how do we apply those? So as we think this evening, I want us to look at ourselves and look at how we follow examples. But you know, there's one example that should be by far the first and foremost influence upon us. And you might guess, it's Jesus. Jesus is the example that needs to be our best example. And no matter how many other people influence us, and there will be others, and even as you get older like me, you'll find that there's some people you're impressed with them, and you like a certain aspect of their lives or a certain ability that they have. That is good. But let me tell you, our best example is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and He loved us enough that He died for our sins. And He will lead us in the best way to live. That's the kind of example that we want to be following. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 24, it says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If you look at that, he left us an example. Now, it is true, there are some things that Jesus did that you and I will never do. You and I will never die on the cross for the rest of the world's sins. But when you look at his life, and you look and examine the way he thought, the way he, the things that he did as he went through his daily life here on this earth, and we're going to look at some of that here in just a moment, you're going to see that he left us an example that we might live for righteousness. That's the kind of example that we want to be following. That's the best example that we can do. If you stop and think about it, Jesus came to this earth in the flesh, and he suffered greatly while he was on this earth. He didn't have all the good things in life. He didn't even live for himself. He came to do the will of his Father, and that's God. And the will of his Father was for Jesus to come and bear our sins and die on the cross for you and for me. Now, when we stop and think about this, you know, do we want to follow that example? I want you to think about that, because that's going to weigh in very shortly. In Matthew 11, chapter 28, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus himself is inviting us to come to him and learn from him. That's how we make him our example. We learn from him. We learn what do we really need to do. And it's kind of ironic that here Jesus says, "Come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden." Y'all ever have any problems in this life? I do. And I would dare say every person here does. And every person that's listening online. Everybody has problems. Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Now, it's not always the kind of rest that we're used to thinking of rest as being, and I'll kind of throw that out for us to think about. But how can we learn from Jesus and his example? He's no longer here on this earth. I can't go see him. I can't watch him like I watched my parents when I was growing up. I can't see him like I see each of you, and I may like a certain attribute that you do or a certain ability or something. I don't see Jesus that way. Do you? It's unfortunate. But you know, he is revealed to us in the scriptures. And we have a blessing that we often overlook. Sometimes we don't study it enough. Are y'all ever guilty of that? Sometimes I don't study enough. I am guilty of that sometimes. But we've got it revealed to us. So we can learn from Jesus himself because of what's revealed about him in the scriptures. You know, we can read a lot about Jesus in the Old Testament prophecies. Before Jesus actually came in the flesh here on earth, Jesus was here on earth during the creation. But he wasn't here in the flesh at that time. He, you know, it was before then that these people in the Old Testament, prophets, were prophesying a lot of prophecies about Jesus. Well, he's going to be coming. Well, he's the Messiah that's going to come and save the world. And even godly men besides prophets believed this. And they were looking forward to the time that Jesus was going to come as the Messiah. That's pretty important. But you know, we have that benefit of reading, and we can understand, we can see not only the things that Jesus did before he came in the flesh, we can read what he did while he was on this earth in the flesh. And we can see what he did as he went through his daily life. Now, obviously not everything is written. I don't think you would find a book big enough to hold it if you wrote everything in the book. In fact, the Bible says it wouldn't hold it. But we can also read in this book about what Jesus is doing now that he's gone back to be with his Father in heaven. Jesus is truly our best example. We can read in the New Testament how he lived as a man, making his way on this earth. He experienced the same kinds of things that you and I experience today. In fact, he was tempted in every way, just like you and I. That's a pretty powerful statement, and yet the Bible says that's what happened to Jesus. Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. He was able to overcome this. But we can see how Jesus handled situations. You know, when he was dealing with people who were unfair, you think people were unfair to Jesus? By all means. Jesus was treated more unfairly than any person I have ever known that walked this earth. I mean, Jesus was the sinless Son of God. And stop and think what he went through while he was living here. But yet we can see his never failing determination to be faithful to God and do just what his Father wanted. We look at John 6:38. It says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus had this as his goal. When he came down to this earth and he put on this body of flesh and he went through and suffered all the things that he did, back in his mind, he's still thinking all the time, I want to do what my Father wants me to do. I want to please him. That's what I want to do. As we read about Jesus and we learn about him, we should note that that was the motivating factor for him. Everything he did was to do the will of the Father. So you and I can follow the example of Jesus, and we can do it best when we follow Jesus in doing the will of the Father. John 6:45 says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Did you know there will not be a single person that will make it to heaven accidentally? It won't be a single person that they got lost one day and they went down the wrong road and they wound up in heaven. There will not be a single person do that. In fact, there won't even be a single person that decides, "Well, I'm going to get there my way. I'm going to do it my way." It won't happen. We're told in other places, and I don't have this on the slide here, but Jesus is the only way to the Father. You and I are not going to get there without learning about Jesus. We're going to have to study his word, and we're going to have to incorporate that into our lives so that we're following his example to get to the Father and to get to heaven when this life is over. None of us has miraculous knowledge. You know, I don't know, didn't know about Jesus and about God without studying and learning. And as we go through life, we continue to grow and learn, and hopefully we're building on that knowledge and learning more as we go through life. But yet, both Jesus and God the Father are revealed to us in the Scriptures. I'm repeating this more than once because I cannot emphasize enough the importance of studying. We need to study and learn about Jesus, and then that becomes our example to follow. We're going to tie this in again here in just a moment. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 5, this is after Jesus has told his disciples that he's going to leave them and go back. And, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is making it clear to his disciples, and I would say to you and me this evening, I am the only way to the Father. You're not going to get there any other way. You've got to come by me. I'm the truth. I'm the one that's revealing the truth that God has provided for us. And life itself, I have sometimes missed this. In fact, we can go through and, you know, Jesus is telling them, I meant to have this slide up when I was saying this last part. But Jesus provides the way, the truth, and life itself. We kind of take life for granted. And we forget that God is the one that breathed life into Adam in the first place. And Jesus says, I'm the one that gives life. And I believe this is the eternal life that he's talking about here. This is more than just the breath. I just took a breath of air and it sure was good. We've got good clean air around here and I'm thankful for that. And it's able to sustain our life. But you know, Jesus gives us a life that goes far beyond this. When I take my last breath and my life here on this earth is over, that's not the end of it. Jesus provides that life that will take us right on back to the Father. That's pretty powerful. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John and the other disciples, they saw Jesus firsthand. They touched him. They actually had the physical experience that I said, you and I don't have. I can't look around and see Jesus and go over and touch him. I can't do that. But these disciples did. And they said, this same Jesus and God the Father, we're declaring him to you, and you can have fellowship with him. You can have fellowship with both of them. As you and I study and we learn what is revealed about Jesus, we too can see the glory that God has displayed for us. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, but we all with veiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And then Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If you stop and think, when you and I study and learn about Jesus and we follow that example, the glory of Jesus is showing in us. When we look in the mirror and we see, we're looking to see how well are we matching what Jesus says? Are we doing the good things that God has said for us to do? Are we doing those things that Jesus would do if he were here in the flesh? Are we doing those things that Jesus has shown us and taught us to do? If we are, that 2 Corinthians passage there says we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. You remember I started this lesson by saying, you know, have you ever thought, I want to be just like him? If you want to be just like Jesus, here's your key to being just like Jesus. You need to be transformed into the same image, to be the same way that Jesus is. And I will guarantee you, the more Christ-like you become, the better you follow that example, the more the glory of Jesus is going to come through. And that's not to bring glory on ourselves. It's to bring glory back to the Father. That is so important that we become more like Him. We take on that image. You know, it was God's plan from the beginning that His people would conform their lives to be like Jesus. After all, Jesus was the perfect son. I chose the wrong color, for Jesus was the perfect son. I wanted that to just jump out at you. So I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read it real loud. Becky doesn't like me to get real loud, but I'm going to get real loud here. Because Jesus was the perfect son. And He still is. God had the perfect son in Jesus. And Jesus came to this earth. And He was the perfect son. He did everything that His Father wanted Him to do. That's why Jesus is our best example. You know, it was God's plan from the beginning that people would conform to their lives to be like Jesus. Again, after all, Jesus was the perfect son. And we could talk for hours on all the things we can learn about Jesus and from His example. We're going to mention just a few in the remaining part of this lesson. But I want to give you a little heads up. The closing song that we'll have at the end of this service this evening will give you some more things that you and I can follow the example of Jesus on. Oh, to be like Thee. And I hope each one of you, we'll think about that when we get to that part of our service. But you know, John 13, verse 34, as we look at some things of Jesus, as we finish out this lesson, the first thing that pops out is, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love is going to always come out on top when God or Jesus comes into the picture. I can tell you, it always will. John says that Jesus says, you know, He gives this new commandment. You're to love one another just like I've loved you. That's, again, following Jesus' example, the perfect example. In John 15, verse 10, He says, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. Jesus gave the example. He came and did the Father's will. He obeyed everything that God wanted Him to do. Guess what you and I need to be doing? We need to be doing the same thing, and we need to do it out of love. Love is the motivator. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 and 9 says, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and your love for us, see that you abound in grace also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. When we look in verse 7 at those attributes there, in faith and speech and knowledge and in all diligence, that means when Jesus was doing these things, it's with all effort. He put all of His effort into it. And then in your love for us, you see that you abound in grace. Jesus exemplified each of those traits wonderfully. And yet He turned around and extended grace to you and I. We don't live up quite to the standard that Jesus did. We're not that perfect son that Jesus was, but we can stand perfect thanks to the grace of God. Jesus is the one that put this out here for us. He says, this is for you. I'm extending My grace to you. I realize you haven't been perfect, but I'm making you perfect because I came and I died for your sins. If we look at Philippians 2, verses 5 through 7, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus was, in fact, part of God. He was deity. And yet, in his mind, we've already said, he wanted to do the will of the Father. His Father had a plan before he even created the world that he was going to save the world through Jesus. And that was not a pretty sight. We've already mentioned a lot of the things Jesus went through. He gave up the riches of heaven to come down here as a poor man and live on this earth a very difficult life. He made himself of no reputation. It was like he wasn't a God at all. It was like he was just an old servant out here. But yet Jesus did that. That's the kind of mind you and I need to have if we're going to follow the example of Jesus. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do." Again, we see putting on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Those are traits that Jesus exemplified so wonderfully. And because of those traits, he's able to bear with one another and forgive one another. They just kind of feed in and help each other. You know, we might throw in love. It's not in that passage. But love is the motivating factor behind each one of those things. You remember John 3:16, God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. And yet, this is done to bear with one another and to forgive one another. If you and I have a complaint against one another, what's the last part of that verse 13 say? Even as Christ forgave you, so you must do as well. I will guarantee you nobody has ever mistreated us as bad as Jesus was mistreated. It should be easier for us to forgive them than it was Jesus to forgive us. We need to remember that as we follow the example of Jesus. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." As we follow the example of Jesus, when we obey the gospel and our sins are taken away, we're purifying ourselves. The sin is what messes us up. Brother Matt had an excellent lesson this morning. In fact, I meant to mention in the beginning of the lesson, you're going to see a few of those passages that he had this morning show up again tonight. But it's in a total different way. But when we look at what happens when sin gets in our lives, it's dirty. It's the beast coming out. It's the bad things. And yet Jesus provided the fix for that. We don't have to continue that way. We can purify ourselves. And we become children of God. Not the perfect Son of God like Jesus was, but we do, in fact, become children of God and joint heirs with him. That's pretty powerful. How well are you and I following the example of Jesus in our lives today? Are we conforming to make our life like that of Jesus? Think about it just a minute. I'm thinking about myself. I hope you're thinking about you. I can't judge you and you can't judge me, but we can each one look at ourselves. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come to me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We've already mentioned that Jesus didn't have an easy life. When he was here on this earth, in the flesh, He had a very difficult time. If you and I are going to make him our example, we better get ready. We're going to have to buckle down. We're going to have to deny ourselves some things. You know, it's not always my way. That's part of following the example of Jesus. And taking up his cross. You know, I didn't realize for many years, but when someone takes up their cross, they're literally putting their life on the line. You remember Jesus was asked to carry his cross? What were they going to do with that cross? They were going to hang him on that cross. His life was on the line. That's what that means. If you and I take up our cross, we've got to be willing to give our life for Jesus if it's required. And I hope it won't be. But I also hope that if it does come down to that, if you have the choice of denying God or dying, I hope that we have enough faith that we can remain faithful to God. I have heard of cases where that happened. I've not seen it firsthand. But it still happens today in some parts of the world. And it may come here. We just don't know. But the bottom line, we need to follow Jesus. In John 14, 1 through 3, as we get close to the end of this lesson, I mentioned earlier that Jesus told his disciples he was about to go away. And that's when, you know, they was asking him, well, where are you going? How are we going to know about that? But in the first three verses of John 14, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has gone back to be with the Father, but he's not just up there sitting on the throne with his arms crossed and waiting on time for the world to end. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you and for me. So we've seen that Jesus gave up his will to do the will of the Father, so you and I can be saved from our sins. Jesus died for our sins. I mentioned earlier, that's the part of Jesus' example. You and I will not be able to do that. But I can tell you what we can do. We can take advantage of what Jesus did it for. We can do our part and respond in the proper way. If you've not had your sins forgiven, it's ready for you right now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can be saved before you leave this building this evening. Your sins can be just wiped away, and you will become a child of God. And you'll be pure and holy, just like Jesus. In order for us to follow his example, we must deny ourselves, we must take up our cross and follow him. And just as Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead, we too must die to sin. That's what we call repentance. We put away the sin from our lives. We stop doing those bad things. We are buried with him in baptism, and we do it for the remission of sins. You know, all the acts of obedience are very important. It wouldn't be in the Bible if it was not important. But did you know this is the only step that we read about that the sins are removed? Sin is what separated us in the first place. That's what Matt's lesson was about this morning. Sin was the problem. Jesus provides the forgiveness to take those sins away and remove them. And that happens when we're baptized, and we're also baptized into Christ. Remember, Christ is the only way to get to the Father. And lastly, we walk in newness of life. That means we continue to follow his example. We try to do the right things from day to day. We try to do all those attributes that we're going to see about Jesus in the song we're going to sing at the close, as the close of this lesson today, or the close of the service. So, I want you and me to be just like Jesus. And that's what it's going to take if we really and truly have Jesus as our perfect example. If you're in any way subject to the Lord's invitation, I hope that you'll come even this evening as we stand and sing.